What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Putting America first, second, and third. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And welcome to our show today. Pardon me, it is Monday, August 23rd, 2021, and start of a brand new week, and my gut is telling me it's going to be even crazier than last week. So we got a lot to talk about, a lot of news. We're going to get through the news and then open up the phone lines. Mike is in our control room twiddling the dials and keeping us out of trouble. And a little bit of sad news here at the very top of the show. One of our longtime listeners, Jason Barbier, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, passed away in the last few days, not from COVID. And his wife asked if I would be kind enough to mention that fact on the show. So, you know, there we are. And, you know, it's like Joe in Barbados, you know, we see so many friends just heading along. Getting into some more personal positive news, this is my birthday week. On this next weekend, I turn 69, and I remember growing up always hearing 69 is divine, 69 is divine, and now that I'm turning 69, I don't get it. I just don't get it one bit. However, if things get better with age, then I must be darn near perfect by now. So we'll see how the rest of the week transpires. And a little bit of bad news over in the New England area. Tropical Storm Henry made landfall yesterday near Rhode Island. Flights are canceled out of the airports. Thousands are without power. And I have family in that area, and they're saying they're doing okay, but it's very, very heavy rain, and they had to take down all the hanging planters and really just sort of hunker down there. So, you know, it had winds of 60 miles an hour when it made landfall. So if you are in that part of the country, you know, please take the appropriate precautions. All righty. Now, over the weekend, the situation in Afghanistan has deteriorated. And if the Biden administration expected Afghanistan to fade away from the public mind over the weekend, he could not have been more wrong. And Biden's security advisor is warning of an acute terror risk at the Kabul airport. As Blinken says, Americans are on their own getting there. And so they're still struggling with the crowds at the airport. And, of course, we're seeing a lot of propaganda trying to demonize the Taliban and, ooh, they're the bad guys. And I don't know, some of it comes across like, you know, being a sore loser. Oh, you know, they may have won, but golly, they're just really, really bad people. And Biden came on out yesterday, made another speech basically saying that the evacuations from Afghanistan are hard and painful. And he wanted to extend the August 31st withdrawal deadline. The Taliban has already said no, that there will be consequences. August 31st is a red line, and the Taliban says you better get your people out by the 31st, or there will be consequences. There will be a reaction. Now, the Secretary of State Blinken is basically had to admit that the U.S. has to ask the Taliban for permission to evacuate Americans from Kabul. And, yeah, it's their country now. And as if they weren't having enough problems, there was a fire at the Kabul airport complicating matters over there. And that happened earlier today. And so they're having to deal with that as well. There has actually been a firefight that broke out at the airport involving U.S. and German troops. And this happened earlier today. And at least one Afghan guard was killed. Several others were injured. And there was apparently a sniper outside the airport who fired. And then the U.S. and German soldiers returned fire, trying to drive the sniper away. And things are just getting, they're descending into chaos in terms of this whole refugee situation. The U.S. Embassy in Kabul is sending out blank visa documents that allow non-Americans to create their own U.S. visa. And I'm sure they did it in the name of expediting the evacuation, but it opens the door to all kinds of terrorists and other people of ill intent getting into the United States by disguising themselves as refugees. To basically sum up this fluster cluck, Joe Biden left 300 times more guns to the Taliban than were lost to the drug lords during the Fast and Furious program, and he has abandoned more than 151 times as many potential hostages as the Iran hostage crisis. And it's just really a mess here. Now, Nasrallah is out there saying that Afghanistan is the worst debacle in U.S. history, and he's absolutely right about that. And he went on to say that Joe Biden, Biden may be hoping for a civil war, and if so, that's not working because the Taliban has already taken control of all but one of the areas where there was a resistance being mounted, and they're waiting orders to attack that last stronghold right now. So that's they got the country back here. Meanwhile, stranded Afghans are busy deleting their entire social media history for fear that it will be used by the Taliban for reprisals. I mean, payback is a bitch, and that's exactly what's happening here. And if you look at what happened to the collaborators in World War II France, for example, when Germany was driven out of France and it fell back under the French government, those French people who had cooperated with the Nazis were treated rather roughly, and it's sorry to see, but it is an inevitable aspect of war. And one of the interesting things that happened is that French women who had been, shall we say, friendly with the German soldiers were sort of marked by shaving their hair off. And it kind of had an unexpected effect in that the French men saw those short-haired ladies as being more willing to go on hot dates, and actually started a trend of very short hair among all the French women that lasted, well, basically almost to the present day here. Meanwhile, the Taliban has seized U.S. surveillance equipment, and these are known as handheld interagency identity detection equipment. And they're used to scan the biometrics of Afghans to match the fingerprints on improvised explosive devices. And no doubt the Taliban have other ideas what they're going to do with this high technology. Now, former British Prime Minister Tony Blair has blasted Joe Biden, calling him an imbecile and blasting him for withdrawing from Afghanistan. Blair called it a tragic, dangerous and unnecessary plan. And, you know, absolutely on that one here. And as a result of the catastrophic U.S. defeat in Afghanistan, Great Britain is now going to have to go through either Russia or China to be able to deal with the Taliban. Because certainly the Taliban is not going to be listening to the United States or Great Britain, you know, in the aftermath of 20 years of war on their country. Now, I commented before that when the Soviet Union got kicked out of Afghanistan, it ended the myth of Soviet invincibility, and we're seeing the same exact thing here right now. There's an article that came on out of the American conservative, talking about a crisis of confidence in America's military, despite all those trillions of dollars that have been poured into all these weapon systems. Can we really fight and win a major war? And I think the answer probably is no, but you know, the military all know the correct gender pronouns to use, and that's got to count for something out there. Somebody's asking if Joe's dementia is contagious, because Blinken was talking about Afghanistan, and he confused the former Afghan President Ghani with Hamid Karzai, who was the first U.S.-backed president installed following the U.S. invasion. And Hamid Karzai is an interesting figure, because he was part of that oil company consortium that went before Congress all the way back in 1997 and said the Taliban want to charge us too much for a pipeline right of way. It's going to be cheaper, certainly for us, not for the American taxpayer, for you to go on in and put a more friendly, supportive government in Kabul here. Now, on Saturday, Donald Trump was holding a rally. It was absolutely packed. He said a lot of things, and he repeated his analysis, okay, that, you know, the proper way to get out of Afghanistan is you bring out all the equipment, then you bring out the civilians. Actually, he said this: the American citizens first, then you bring out the equipment, then you bomb the bases into rubble, and then, and only then, do you bring out the military. And Biden and the woke generals just messed it up. Latest poll is showing 74% of Americans believe Biden's Afghan withdrawal has gone badly. And yes, it certainly has here. Another article, this one coming on out of Blabberbuzz. Biden is apparently in denial that the whole world is angry with him over the way he handled the Afghanistan exit. And, you know, we've lost credibility with our allies, and it's been a huge mess. And from where I'm sitting, the mask mandates are strike one. Afghanistan is strike two. And the coming Arizona audit report will be strike three for Joe Biden, and will send him back to the showers, as it were. Biden is still out there saying, I think history is going to record this was the logical, rational, and right decision to make. He's partly correct. Okay, nobody except the military-industrial complex objects to getting out of Afghanistan. We should have gotten out a long time ago, but, you know, there's the oil and the opium that dragged on forever. What people are angry about is how it was done, and it was done badly. There's really no way to look at how this was done and put any kind of a positive spin on it. Now, Kamala Harris is out there. She's finally sort of showing her head over the Afghanistan mess, and she came on out literally boasting that the U.S. is a global leader that takes that role seriously, and she's out there trying to reinforce America's dependability in other conflicts, despite the global condemnation of the handling of Afghanistan. And that's probably in response to Russia telling Ukraine, you can't count on the Americans, and China telling Taiwan, you can't count on the Americans. And Kamala is out there saying, oh, yes, you can. Absolutely, you can. Well, you know, anyway, the calls for Biden's resignation are growing exponentially. There is talk of impeachment. And Biden was asked if he was worried about the 25th Amendment, and he said that's completely, utterly ridiculous. Everybody knows there were only 10 amendments on those stone tablets that Moses brought down from the mountain, and so he therefore does not have to worry about anything at all. Okay, so anyway, very bizarre story here. I don't know why I'm getting crackling in the microphone. I'm going to pull it a little back here. Over at Fox News, They tried to put the blame for Afghanistan, at least partly, on Jill Biden. And basically saying the most patriotic thing Jill Biden could have done was tell her husband to not let him run in this mental state that he is in. And I think that's a little tacky. And I'm not alone. The White House has blasted Fox News, you know, for making that comment that Jill Biden failed the country by letting her husband run in his mental condition. Something tells me that Jill probably couldn't have talked him out of it anyway. There were too many people behind him pushing him forward to have as a puppet in the White House. Meanwhile, Biden had another senior moment. He was doing a press conference yesterday, and he forgot the name of his FEMA director, Dion Criswell, when he was talking about Tropical Storm Henry. So definitely, you know, he's a few wheels short of an 18-wheeler. It's time that we confront that. Getting into other politics, the Capitol Police have investigated themselves and, to nobody's surprise, have decided that nobody is guilty for the murder of Ashley Babbitt. They have declared the officer was acting within departmental policy and there will be no disciplinary action taken whatsoever. In response, the Babbitt family, through their attorney, has launched a Justice for Ashley Babbitt legal fund. And so my guess is they're going to be filing civil lawsuits against the Capitol Police and specifically the officer who did pull that trigger. Now, lately we've been talking about Ilhan Omar and how she defrauded the Immigration and Naturalization Service by marrying her own brother. And she should be stripped of her congressional office and she should be sent back home. But it's come on out. The FBI has known all along what Ilhan Omar did and did not act on it. So, anyway... what the FBI did do is another one of their famous hoaxes. The FBI paid the leader of Satanic Pedophile Death Cult. Boy, talk about having that on your business card here. They paid him $82,000 to take over the Atomwaffen Division to brainwash, drug, and entrap its young members. Now, prior to 2018... special interest groups were demanding the dismantling of the rapidly growing nationalist movement in the name of stopping white supremacist domestic terrorism, but they couldn't actually find any groups involved in white supremacist domestic terrorism that would justify a crackdown, and so the FBI basically invented one, just out of clear air here. Meanwhile, InfoWars host Owen Schroyer has now been officially charged by the FBI in connection with the January 6th events. He was just there acting as a reporter. You know, he didn't get involved. He didn't go on the Capitol building that I'm aware of. He was just there. And they're going after people who just attended the Trump rally. You know, talk about, you know, the iron fist coming on down here. Democrats, and specifically Nancy Pelosi, are hoping to pass their combined infrastructure bills. We're talking about $5.4 trillion in new spending. Nobody is talking about raising the debt limit. A lot, virtually all Republicans are going to vote against it. The nation cannot afford more debt, and it's only going to take a few Democratic defectors to put an end to this, and one of them is Arizona Senator and Democrat Kristen Sinema, and she is objecting to the spending bill, and she's saying her objections are not a ploy to get a better deal for herself, and it's not up for negotiation. She just thinks it's a bad day. All righty, we got to take a break for commercials. We'll be back with more news after these few words.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no wage, can't draw no pay.
Welcome back to our show, and this is the part of the program where I get out my little beggar's rags and put them on there and remind you all that Republic Broadcasting Network needs your ongoing support to keep on doing what we are doing in these historic times. And so once again, the postal address where you can send a check, money order, or if you prefer anonymity cash, is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The phone number where you can make a credit or debit card donation is 800-724-2719, extension 3. Now remember, if you mail in a donation of $100 or more, you will get your choice of an official RBN coffee mug or an official RBN t-shirt. So include a return address, and if you want the t-shirt, we need your t-shirt size. We have all sizes on hand and can get that right back out to you. Very, very quickly. Okay, today is the last day in office for New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. And he's packed up already. He's moved out of the governor's mansion. He left his dog behind, which struck me as kind of weird, but they're trying to find a new home for the dog here. And the timing really is kind of nasty because Cuomo's successor, Kathy Hochul, is going to be left to deal with the mess from Tropical Storm Henry, which hit New York kind of hard here. And other news, over in Portland, you know, it's beginning to look like you know, a war zone over in Portland. There was a fight that broke out between the Proud Boys and Antifa, and the police were just not around. Gunfire and explosives were being used. So, all righty, getting into other news here. All right, let's talk election fraud here. CNN is leading the fight, as it were, to discredit the coming Arizona audit report long before it even comes on out. And they're just out there bashing it, saying that, you know, the company that conducted the audit has no prior experience in auditing elections, and none of this is going to be credible and nothing to see here at all. Anyway, the audit report did not go to the Arizona Senate on Friday. It's going either today or tomorrow. But a spokesman for the Arizona audit, Randy Pullen, says that this final audit report will be made public by the end of the month. So we're talking within another week, and I know we've all been impatient to see it. But I think the auditors, knowing they're going to be attacked on every single point, they did three complete recounts. They've double-checked everything, and they don't want to have anything that the Democrats can point to and say, see, we told you they were wrong here. Meanwhile, over in Pennsylvania, they must really be getting scared there. Jake Corman has fired Senator Mastriano's staff. Now, Mastriano was calling for a forensic audit. He was working toward one. And Jake Corman, oddly enough, is a Republican. And he is clearly out there trying to prevent any kind of an election audit there. That's going to be very difficult, because if the Arizona audit report is as people are claiming it's going to be, I think we're going to see the American people rise up and demand audits in all 50 states, and we should. And on One American News Network earlier today, they had a representative of the Arizona audit, and he said, you know, there's no white knight riding in on a horse to save you all. It's going to be up to the people to deal with this issue and bring about fair and honest elections, because obviously, you know, the Democrats aren't going to want to change the election system. They're fighting like heck to keep the cheating in place. Biden isn't going to do anything, and it really is going to come down to we the people, we're going to have to just go to our state legislatures, and we're going to have to stand on their desks and say, look, you fix this now, okay? Or we're just going to quit listening to you. We're going to tear up all the government forms, and we're just going to ignore you, you know, the way, you know, the people of India under Gandhi ignored the British and just said, had enough of you here. Getting on to COVID-19, and as expected, the FDA has granted full approval to the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID vaccine, despite the fact the control group was compromised by giving them the vaccine, and the CDC openly admitting the protection from Pfizer rapidly wanes. And so, you know, really, what good is it? And the Surgeon General is saying, okay, now that the FDA has approved Pfizer, get ready for more vaccine mandates. Back after these words.
Truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Born in the city with a silver spoon, great-grandson of the oil tycoon, raised by wolves, thinks he owns the moon, socialist banker to the one-world goons, Davy Rockefeller, chairman of the CFR.
All right, welcome back to our show here. We're talking about COVID-19. Now, over the weekend, somebody went on Twitter posted, can we send the MAGA-wearing unvaccinated to Afghanistan? No use sending that plane back empty. And the former head of the CIA, Michael Hayden, responded saying, yeah, that sounds like a really, really good idea. So Glenn Greenwald found that tweet and said, George Bush and Dick Cheney's former CIA NSA director and current CNN favorite, endorsing the idea that people who wear MAGA hats and aren't vaccinated should be forcibly shipped to Afghanistan. The U.S. intelligence community has always been led by sociopaths. I think sociopathy is a prime requisite for any government work here. Anyway, in the House of Representatives, they're looking now at House Resolution 4980, which will say that the unvaccinated will be banned from all aircraft flights in the United States of America. Talk about coercive. My understanding was that travel was a constitutionally protected right. And this is one more illustration that the government really doesn't pay attention to the Constitution anymore. Because after all, they're not afraid you, the voters, can vote them out anymore because they've got the elections totally under control. And just to show the double standard that's out here, there was this councilman over in New York City who said that a vaccine ID is important to prevent fraud, but voter ID is a civil rights violation. And I don't know, that's silly. I mean, could I vote by showing my vaccine card? I mean, would that work? I don't know. Anyway, AstraZeneca is having second thoughts about its COVID vaccine business. The filings with the FDA are dragging on and dragging on. The AstraZeneca vaccine has come under severe criticism from a lot of countries in Europe. Earlier this year, Germany actually suspended it for a while because of all the adverse reactions being reported. All right. Dr. Jeff Mitchell has issued a report saying that the vaccine shots are neither safe nor effective. And he says the best data out there tells us the COVID-19 vaccines are failing. And Dr. Mitchell is out there saying countries with active vaccination programs have more COVID deaths than those who do not. Countries with a higher percentage of their population vaccinated have more COVID deaths, and COVID deaths have increased with vaccination after the programs were implemented. And to sort of underscore that, there is a video out, and it has gone viral, where the director of the CDC, Dr. Walensky, admits they are getting reports that people who have been vaccinated are at increased risk of getting the disease, the exact opposite of the way these were supposed to work here. So in just 3 months, the CDC's message has changed from vaccinated people do not carry the virus to worsening infection among vaccinated people over time. Meanwhile, the corporate media is now starting to admit the vaccines don't work unless you're getting indefinite booster shots. They want to turn COVID vaccines into a yearly shot like the flu vaccine, and people have been getting the flu vaccine every year for a very long time, and we still get the flu. We really, really do. All right. The CDC has contracted with NORC, N-O-R-C, to create a database of vaxxed and unvaccinated. I would sort of have assumed they were keeping track of who's getting vaccinated all along. And if they haven't, it sort of raises the possibility, how are they going to tell who's vaxxed and unvaccinated? Are they going to go door to door and ask to see your little vaccine card? Anyway. Now, Apple, Google, and Samsung, in the next iteration of their various operating systems, will have a vaccine passport section in their wallet function. And this is going to be interesting to see how it works. I mean, I don't use the Apple iPhone wallet because the possibility of information being stolen from it. And I'm wondering, again, how do you get from this little vaccine card signed by that nice little person in the Army to the little QR code that will show up on the phone? So I think there's going to be a bit of an implementation problem here. Over in the European Union, they are now reporting 1.9 million vaccine injuries, 20,595 deaths. A new poll is showing that 80% of Americans will not go to restaurants requiring proof of vaccination. So we can basically see the restaurant industry going into yet another pandemic-caused economic crash here. And pouring salt on the wound, it was announced by no less than Jen Psaki that the White House staff are not required to get vaccinated. If they want a vaccine, they can get it in the White House medical office, but they are not being required to get the vaccines. Kind of do as we say, don't do as we do. Up in Montana, They are banning vaccine requirements for employees. If you have a business in Montana, you will not be allowed to ask for the vaccine status of people working for you. And there's a big controversy brewing over mandatory vaccines for the military. And down in Fort Polk, troops who are not vaccinated will be required to wear a red armband or possibly a yellow star. I'm not sure how that's going to work on out, but it's part of an effort to identify and thereby stigmatize them. Now, the soldiers are fighting back against the Pentagon's vaccine mandate. They have filed a massive class action lawsuit against the Pentagon. And an armed forces member refusing to take the vaccine is subject to punishment under the Universal Code of Military Justice. And so the soldiers are getting together and they're filing a lawsuit of that. Over in Virginia, the University of Virginia has disenrolled 238 students ahead of the fall semester for non-compliance with the school's COVID-19 vaccine requirement. So, the coercive measures continue. In other parts of the world, it's getting really ugly. Over in Vietnam, their authorities have dispatched the armed forces to enforce the strict lockdown in Ho Chi Minh City, with the military in place to deliver food to people and monitor movement. They're under a strict 2-week lockdown that prohibits them from leaving the house, even to go to the grocery store. So that's getting really serious there. Out in California, they are starting to notice that the homeless population has COVID-19 cases. No surprise there. It was to be expected here. And people experiencing homelessness are at high risk of severe COVID-19 due to underlying health conditions, age, or both. And so they're talking about, getting a taxpayer-funded vaccination program for them. Okay, over in London, another massive protest, huge protest demonstrating against the coronavirus vaccination. And this is the same group that tried to storm the BBC's headquarters in London during a previous demonstration. Meanwhile, in Paris, thousands of people have marched in the center of the French capital for the sixth consecutive weekend to denounce the so-called coronavirus health pass that they see as an infringement of the rights of unvaccinated citizens. So, better start sharpening up those guillotines here. Down in Australia, there is going to be a major protest a week from tomorrow on the 31st of August. Every truck driver in Australia and New Zealand is going on strike to show their displeasure. Some have even talked about taking their trucks and parking them to block major roads. So we'll see what happens there. Getting on to the international news here. Once again, Israel attacked Syria. And Syria's air defense systems managed to intercept 22 out of the 24 missiles in the latest Israeli attack. And once again, Israel carried out the attack from inside Lebanese airspace. Lebanon has complained to the United Nations, and Israel, as usual, ignores international laws. There have been border clashes down along Gaza, and Israeli gunfire wounded 41 Palestinians, including a 13-year-old boy shot in the head. Now, one Israeli policeman was wounded by Palestinian gunfire during the clashes. In response to the clashes, Israeli aircraft struck Hamas sites in Gaza. So, Israel's been pounding on the Palestinian people for how many years, and it's not working. It's a failed policy. And short of Israel going on in and committing a genocide against the Palestinians, I think it's time that Israel grow up and maybe consider a different solution to what's going on here. And by the way, you, the American taxpayer, are paying for all those weapons Israel uses on the Palestinians and on Syria and on whoever else it is they don't like. Over at the Al-Aqsa Mosque, Palestinians were commemorating the 1969 arson attack. Israeli forces shot and injured more than two dozen of the Palestinians during the festival in the Gaza Strip, commemorating the 52nd anniversary of the 1969 arson attack at the Al-Aqsa Mosque. At least 27 of the injured were shot with live rounds in their lower extremities. Two were shot in the abdomen and two in the arm. And another one here, this was over at container military checkpoint near Bethlehem. There was a young Palestinian man with special needs, and the Israeli soldiers opened fire on this disabled young man, and they shot him in the foot. And as Ron White would say, you got to be a real manly man to do something like that. Shoot a disabled person. All right. Now, Kamala Harris is vowing the U.S. will open the South China Sea after it deals with the Afghanistan pullout. And to me, this is a pathetic attempt to change the issue. It's like when the U.S. invaded Grenada to distract the American people from the Beirut barracks bombing. You know, change the focus, change the story. I think Americans are a lot more sophisticated these days and recognize this for what it is. Meanwhile, Taiwan is saying China is trying to emulate what the Taliban did in Afghanistan. Not too sure about that. The Taliban was a very small, poorly equipped force. China is a mighty army, but Taiwan is clearly trying to demonize China ahead of a possible invasion. All righty, getting into the economic news now. Over in Minnesota, the drought is getting worse, exposing rocks, riverbeds, and islands in the St. Croix and Minnesota River. Their state is now imposing water restrictions. Meanwhile, over in Tennessee, they've had a huge amount of rain, and at least 21 are dead and 20 missing after this catastrophic flooding in central Tennessee. And so there is rain falling. It's just not falling where people want it to fall. Story from Investment Watch blog, the economy is skidding lower in line with slowing liquidity, which makes sense. The less money we actually have, the less we can spend. Cause and effect there. The latest data from the Philadelphia Fed and the New York Fed Empire State surveys show that the economy is in fact slowing down. There is no recovery. Here's where things are getting really bizarre out there. Bank of America is reportedly forcing their employees to embrace woke ideology, not just be educated in it. They're demanding their employees embrace this ideology. I think that's over the line for any manager anywhere. But their radical re-education program actually exhorts its staff to become woke at work, and how that's going to affect their business remains to be seen. But they're pushing woke as hard as they can. Trump at his rally on Saturday basically said, woke is, everything woke touches turns to crud. And he's absolutely right about that. We're still waiting to see the after effects of the end of the rent and mortgage moratorium. Meanwhile, 7.5 million people will be losing all their unemployment benefits in early September. So we are heading into a real, what am I saying? Heading into, we are in real trouble here. We're in very, very dark times. ABC is reporting that one landlord who's just basically frustrated at all this stuff going on, has spray painted the roofs of his own rental properties with the tenants' names and how much money they owe in rent. And, you know, it is his building. I guess he gets to do that here. Amazon is going to buy AMC. The negotiations have reopened. They talked, then they stopped. They're talking again. The stocks of both are going up. And let's see. European natural gas prices have plunged after Gazprom says it may start the Nord Stream 2 deliveries this year. We got to take a break for commercials. We'll be back after these few words.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just try it yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
Welcome back to our show here, and we're still talking about the economy. As we talked about last week, there is a lot of untapped mineral wealth in Afghanistan, including lithium, which is needed for batteries for electric vehicles. There are rare earths which are needed for the computer industry. And, you know, the United States was there for 20 years, and I guess they were so busy harvesting the opium that they didn't think about going after those other treasures, and they're still there. And China is now admitting they are making overtures to the Taliban in order to get access to those rare earths and other minerals. And so that was a really big mess up regarding Afghanistan. Grocery prices have risen 31% in the last year due to lockdowns, drought, and, of course, the money printing, which is fueling the inflation here. Now, there is a website called OnlyFans, and they have now banned sexually explicit content. And it's kind of weird because the site originally said, you know, this is a place for amateur porn, and you know, you can't just go on in and look at it. You have to basically sign up and agree to pay the content provider. But OnlyFans came under pressure from their backers and investors and said nudity will still be allowed, but nothing beyond that. Tumblr did the same thing, and they promptly imploded. OnlyFans is probably going to do exactly the same, and I think we can expect a huge surge in the unemployment rate in beautiful young women who have lost their livelihood. Meanwhile, talk about frustration. There's a gentleman says he accidentally deleted keys to 20 of his bitcoins worth nearly $900,000. I mean, you know, backups, 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 backups. Turning to immigration, over in Nevada, U.S. District Judge Miranda Due in Reno basically found the felony deportation law unconstitutional. Now, what the law said was if you were deported and you came on back into the state, that was a felony crime that you could go to jail for. And this judge said, no, that's unconstitutional, and they can go and come as many times as they want, which no doubt they definitely will. Anyway, arrests of convicted sex offender migrants by the Border Patrol jumped 171% in 2021. They're just coming on in. It's a free-for-all, and it's not just your money, it's your kids now. Basically, there's a report by the Center for Strategic and International Studies, and they're warning the 2021 Afghan refugee crisis could make the 2015 crisis look like a geopolitical walk in the park, and I think that bodes ill. Okay, we're going to open the phone lines, 512-248-8252, and we'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.